Usually I would read the epistle first and then end with the gospel, but today it seems fitting to read the gospel first and then flow into the epistle reading, and that's what I'm going to do. From the gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, 51 through the end of that chapter, which ends at 62, and then the first verse of chapter 10, we hear, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' To another he said, 'Follow me.' But that one said, 'Lord, first let me go bury my father.' But Jesus said to that one, 'Let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' Jesus said to him, 'No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.' After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and every place where he himself intended to go. And from Paul's letter to Galatia, we hear, 'The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm going to hell in a handbasket. Now, I expect that won't surprise some of you. After all, you've gotten to know me by now. But permit me to explain that obvious condemnation for the others who in the room who aren't quite ready to say amen to that statement or I told you so to those around you. You see, I'm not a perfect follower of Jesus. You may be. I am clearly not. I have taken time away from godly purposes to bury the dead. I have stepped away from pastoral duties, even with you, to say farewell to my family and friends. And if that doesn't convince you of my final resting place, get this. Some folks, many of whom say that they're Christian, no less, these Christians in our fair land condemn my full affirmation of the LGBTQ community and the fact that I take the Bible too seriously to take it literally. And oh, that's not all. They don't like my criticism of our American politics, my criticism of our culture, my criticism of our churches, and the fact that I even question the very existence of hell itself. I don't think there is one, at least not the one the way our culture describes it, you know, with little guys in red suits, pitchforks poking at you, flames dancing all around you. All that, and many other things that I dare not mention, apparently ensure that I'm headed to hell in a handbasket once I reach my expiration date. Believe me, I'm not thrilled about it, but hey, they say they're Christians, so they must know these things, or they wouldn't make such a penultimate claim upon the eternal destination of my soul, right? I mean, that would just be cavalier, arrogant, and reckless. That would be the most irresponsible kind of religion, to not know someone, yet judge and condemn them. I must admit, I used to argue with those folks when they would toss what some have called a damnation grenade Bible verse at me. I'd fire back with a vigorous defense, challenging their hermeneutic, questioning their theological conclusions, and passionately making the case for myself and others. But that was when I was young and believed there was hope for me. I don't do that much these days. I just assume that they're right and resign myself to the hot, forever fate that they've prescribed for me. And since I know where my story ends, in that handbasket headed for hell, at least I can use whatever time I have left wisely and stay busy. So before I descend to hell in a handbasket, before I do that, I've got a fruit basket list of things I want to accomplish. I've created a top 10 list, if you will, a top 10 list of things I want to do before I take the elevator all the way down. On the top of my list before I go to hell, number 10. I'm going to give all people as much grace as I have in my basket, knowing that they're very likely as much of a daily frazzled, stressed out mess as I am. Recognizing that they, like me, stumble and insert foot in mouth more times than they can count, which is, of course, just like me. Number 9. I'm going to look relentlessly and deeply for the good in even the most seemingly unlikable human beings, because I believe the goodness is embedded in there somewhere in each one. I've had this stance for a long time. It's one of the points my seminary professors tried to drive out of me, but I stood my ground and proclaimed that if indeed all people are made in the image of God, all people, then there is a glimmer of hope, a section of the root that can spring to life and thus bring forth the goodness of God. Now, I've got to admit, that's hard. That's hard to find it sometimes, especially in election years. Number 8, I'm going to live my faith as best as I can at any given moment, with all the inconsistency, hypocrisy, doubt, and vacillation that endeavor may come with. I'm deeply flawed, and those flaws come with me, even when I try to hide them. Maybe that's true for others, too. Number 7, I'm going to speak defiantly into bigotry and hatred, especially when they come delivered in the name of God. Because sadly, that is often when they're most likely to go unopposed. As squeaky and undependable as it is, I'm going to use this voice so that all might know that bigotry and hatred are not of God. If our religion causes us to put people down, to hate people, to cast them to hell, then we're doing it wrong. So I'm going to speak up. I'm going to speak out every day, every moment. Number six, I'm going to let people know that they matter, that they belong, that they have value, not if they get their act together, not when they sandblast off their rough edges, not when they clean up their act and stop doing whatever it is that's causing their pain, but where they are right now, right here, right in the middle of problems and pain. Number five in my bucket list before I go to hell, I'm going to look for the broken places in the landscape of my days and try my best to bring some healing there, to leave less injustice and pain than when I found when I arrived. Yes, I'm a gardener at heart, so I'm going to dump some manure too, but not too much to burn, just enough to provide stimulus to grow and flourish. Number four, I'm going to be the best father, husband, brother, son, nephew, friend, pastor, colleague, and human that I can be, the very best version of myself I can manage in each day, holding fast to humility when I succeed and praying for gentleness when I fail. Number three in my bucket list, I'm going to resist retaliation and revenge when I have been unfairly judged or poorly treated, knowing that that only perpetuates damage, knowing what Gandhi asserted, an eye for an eye mentality only leaves the world blind. Number two, I'm going to have patience with those who exhaust me, compassion for those who disappoint me, and forgiveness for those who injure me. Because the truth is, I often exhaust, disappoint, and injure others. Number one in my bucket list before I descend into the fiery furnace, I'm going to keep searching for God, knowing full well that I'll never find everything I'd like to figure out or all that I hope to figure out while I'm here. And to make peace with that truth, knowing that I have to be faithful to my call to find ultimate peace I seek. Now, you probably need to know that, well, none of that is likely, well, none of that's going to spare me from the brimstone future awaiting for me. It just won't. Many TV preachers would tell me as much. But in all seriousness, I'm not doing these things so I can get into heaven. I'm not. I'm not trying to have a cushy afterlife of clouds and harps and wings way up there somewhere. I don't do heights. I don't. I don't want to be way up anywhere. I'm the type of person who, when I go to the Grand Canyon, I'm 20 yards from the edge, and even that's too close. Clouds way up there just don't work for me. In all seriousness, I'm not doing these top 10 bucket lists to get me into heaven. I'm doing these things because they need to be done right here, right now, whether they benefit me beyond this life or not. I'm doing them because my deepest faith convictions tell me to follow Jesus. And for me, that means to try and make this place more like however I believe heaven to be. And we need more fruit in our daily diets, and heaven has a lot of fruits. Heaven to me is full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's heaven to me. And I'm going to be doing them because loving people as I desire to be loved is the best way I know of reiterating Jesus in this world. I'm doing it because restoration and redemption are not cloistered religious relics saved for church buildings. They are loud, messy places of faith that faith invites us to live in here and now. I'm doing them because I don't believe this life is a meaningless holding area before something later. I believe this time is but the sacred chance to make something better of this day, of this breath, of this place. Those condemnatory religious advisors might be right. They might be. I may indeed be going to hell in a handbasket for believing the wrong things or not believing the right things or for what I do or what I leave undone. But if that's the case, I'm going to bring as much heaven down here that I can before I go to hell. And yes, I'm calling you to join me. Please note, I'm not telling you or to follow or, so to speak, telling you to go to, humor intended there. In all seriousness, I'm calling you. I just think this week, your week, my week, this week in Sun City can change. If in this blistering heat that probably feels like hell to some people, instead of condemning people to a fiery furnace, we fill their baskets with some fruit, the fruit the Apostle Paul talks about. Less judging, more fruit. And let me tell you, that's not easy. When the heat is on, it's not easy to share fruit of the Spirit. But if we can, we might turn a hot and heated moment into a chance to share some fruit pie, apple pie, peach pie, and cherry pie. If we can do that in the heat of a moment, the hot and heated moments of our lives, then we'll have a recipe that gives grace, that looks for the good in others, that inspires us to live faithfully despite our flaws, to speak defiantly against bigotry, to let people know they're of value, to bring healing, to bring the best self we can, to resist retaliation and revenge and have patience and search for God in all places. That sounds delicious to me. If you join me in this pursuit, I can almost guarantee you that when you kick the bucket of that proverbial bucket, there's going to be room in that handbasket for you as well. But wherever two or three are gathered in the name of God, there is God. And where there is God, there is hope, even for hell-bent people like you, like me. Thanks be to God. Amen.